Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Radio, the show for people who spend more time thinking about where to have dinner than they spend eating it. Have you done that? I've done that.
I have done that many times.
Like when I'm on vacation?
Especially when you're on vacation. Like, oh, do I go to the hole in wall? Do I go to the fancy place everybody wants
to
eat at?
Go to that weird wishing kissing wall? No.
No.
No. The thing you hang upside down? No. No, no, no. I don't do that. When I'm on vacation, I go to the food places.
Yes.
So like historical 2,000-year-old chapels? No. Cool roller coaster rides? No. Crystalline blue water coastlines? Uh-uh. No, I generally focus on where I'm going to get my next meal.
I love the crystal blue coastlines.
Yeah, except I hate the beach.
Oh,
we talked about this.
Yeah,
I don't like the ocean.
I was in the ocean.
Pretty bleh.
All day yesterday. It
massive
was great.
Dose of primordial soup. Disgusting.
Doesn't it make you stronger? Just that primordial ooze?
Eating stuff that comes out of the ocean might make you stronger. That's as close as I'm willing to get to it. Sometimes I will spend all week thinking about where I want to eat on the weekends. Sometimes I plan a whole Asian theme weekend. Dim sum for breakfast, pho soup for lunch, weird jellyfish or sushi place for dinner, even Asian desserts like mochi ice cream or sweet sticky rice with mangoes or lychees. Yep, I could do that all weekend long. And then I'll drink only Japanese beer.
I love sake and plum wine. That's two of my favorite alcohols of all time.
You ever had a Japanese depth charge?
No, but now you make me want one. What's in
it? It's a shot of sake dropped into a Japanese beer, like a Kirin or something.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of like an American depth charge, except it's sake in Japanese beer. You drop it in there. That's why it's called a depth charge.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all tasty.
No, I didn't know.
But very effective.
Yeah, I bet. I bet it is.
Folks, today on Food Fight, we'll be talking about good mood foods. Meaning food to improve your mood, make you happy with biochemicals and dorky chemistry. See, food can't get away with just getting you through to your next meal. Now it's got to do everything. It's got to be low fat, low carb, high protein, have added omegas, and perk you up and make you all happy and stuff.
I will only eat superfoods because they're better for me.
Really not.
Like quinoa and spinach salad is all I eat. Oh my God.
I just think that's an awful lot to ask of a sandwich. Don't you think?
Yes.
It has to be everything to all people. At least that's what all those millennials seem to expect from their food. They want their chicken wings to be sweet, spicy, sticky, crispy, delicious, make them artificially happy. But let's face it, they're way too simple and dense to be able to recognize joy. They'd have to be told that they're happy, like they have to like get a tweet about it. Now you're happy.
Now you're happy.
Oh, okay. Well, now I'm happy. Because that makes sense, doesn't it? They don't know who is a friend and who is a frenemy, who they're dating or who's just poking them on Facebook, who is lying and who's just tweeting. They don't know anything. And it seems to me that they believe everything. That explains the smart car. Some savvy marketing guy actually figured out a way to convince these young clowns that this car makes you look cool. Folks, nobody who was born any earlier than, say, 1981, would be caught dead in that car. That thing looks like a tumor that was removed from a real car.
To be real, unhonest, I wouldn't even fit in one.
Well, that's very, very true. Folks, Chef Marcus is big.
I'm a big guy. I'm 6'4", right now 300 pounds.
Yep. Anyway, it's a food show, so Good Mood Foods is right now. Dr. Oz, one of my very favorite hacks. Here's what he asks.
Okay.
In a recent article I've read, written by him. By him, for him. His name was on it.
Yeah, I bet it
and
was.
And it was all over 9 times plugging his own name
in
there. It says, do you have a short fuse when it comes to dealing with life's everyday stressors, such as your boss, your spouse, or even your kids? Then eat these things to feel better.
Is one of them crack cocaine?
No. But, well, if that's not in his next article. I'm completely just cutting him off. So, salmon, in order for your brain to function properly, it needs to have the right amount of nutrient building blocks available. Omega-3 fats are one of the most important when it comes to boosting your mood. Your brain is 60% fat, and it particularly loves omega-3 fats.
Is that why it's delicious?
Probably.
Not my brain. I've never eaten.
That's why your brain tells you it's good.
Because
your brain wants the fat. This guy is calling you a fat brain, which,
fat head.
That's all fine and good. If you like salmon, it's all fine and good. But how happy are you going to be eating something you hate twice a week? pop an omega-3 pill, and eat some steak.
There we go.
It's an actual good mood food because it never fails to make me happy.
Go and find a real chef to make you a flaxseed encrusted anything you want, and you'll be really happy.
Ridiculous. Okay, so Ozzy, I can accept that you attended an online witch doctor school and everything, and you love to state the obvious. Fish is good for you. Whatever. But you know what really pisses me off about this guy?
His hair.
He calls your children and spouse stressors. That's what they are to you? Stressors?
I'm not sure if I can disagree with him. I mean, I love them, but...
Honestly, I pity the guy that says that to his wife.
Oh, no. If he says it to his wife, then he deserves the divorce. He's
going
to get...
What a jerk.
Yes.
He regards his kids as stressors. Why the hell did you have them then?
You thought it would be better?
A lot of people would look at their family as their only reason to live.
Okay. To be honest, though, right now, a lot of people never planned out their kids nowadays. Didn't say, okay, let's have one. Let's have two. It's a surprise, air quotes.
Surprise. You know, a lot of people see their kids' little faces. They remember when they were all little loaf-sized babies making little noises and stuff and getting all mushy. This jerk thinks of them as stressors. He's telling you your family is a stressor. Maybe he didn't want his kids. Maybe he didn't plan to have them with his nine wives. You know, but maybe you did. And the fact that he's calling them stressors, it kind of irks me a little bit. He thinks of your family as something that's annoying and needs to be dealt with. You need to eat fish to get over the horror of having your family.
Well, that's basic advertising. Here's a problem. Here's the solution. Your family and your kids
Anyone
are the problem.
Anyone call my family a problem?
I know.
A knuckle sandwich.
I will punch them in the face.
What a putz. Anyway, yeah. Let's move on. I'm going to bash his whole stupid list here. How about that?
And
now I'm really cranked
face.
Up.
Face.
The next one is mushrooms exposed to UV light. Apparently, this is something that's supposed to make you happy. Because he says vitamin D is another key part of good maintenance because it helps regulate the activity of the brain's neurotransmitters, blah, blah, blah. I'm a big nerd. Which have a profound impact on mood. Okay. Studies have also found the likelihood of having depression is significantly higher in people with a deficiency in vitamin D.
So for anybody who has light-skinned, fair-skinned, or a honky-skinned... Go out in the sun. Everyone else, make sure you get some vitamin D.
Yeah. Okay. It's true that depressed people are usually low in vitamin D, but that might be that they haven't stepped outside in a while.
Exactly.
They are depressed. What would you expect? And there are other ways to get vitamin D than gobbling some tanorexic fungus. You can have some whole milk and a cookie.
Yeah. I've never left my house. I wonder why I'm so depressed.
Right. Exactly. You could eat some ham. Has lots of vitamin D in it. Flavored yogurt. Swiss cheese, sausage. You could go outside for 10 minutes. You could stand by a window for 20 minutes. Yes, folks, that's pretty much all it takes. Staring out a window. Dr. Oz, for him, it's like a whole book deal.
That's his job.
Stare out a window. We're here to help you. He just wants to make money off you. Wouldn't you rather stand in a sunny patch than eat some weird slimy mushroom?
Ugh.
I know I would. And drink some chocolate milk?
I love chocolate milk.
Ooh, that's a toughie. Okay, tart cherries. Tart cherries. Not the good kind, the tart kind. Dr. Oz says if you eat a handful of tart cherries before you'll go to bed, you'll wake up in a better mood and with stained teeth.
So you'll wake up saying, oh, finally, that tart taste is out of my mouth. Now I'm finally happy.
They're so bad you gotta sleep it off. They have melatonin in them. Or, you know, you could stop messing up your brain and sleep patterns with all those weird sleeping pills and stop drinking coffee at night and lift a weight for a few minutes before bed and you'll pass right out. There are more studies that show adequate sleep helps with mood better than sour fruit. Or take a melatonin supplement. Durr.
Yeah.
Next is amaranth. It's an ancient grain.
Oh, isn't it like the father grain or something?
Ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, go ahead and try to find some. I dare you.
Nobody sells any amaranth. I've been looking.
Here's how amaranth puts me in a worse mood, okay? You have to go to Whole Foods to get it. But you'll also realize you're out of a couple other things, so you'll buy all those things while you're at Whole Foods, where everything costs seven times as much as a normal store. There's no way the carbs in that sack of old grain can tackle how ticked off you are after spending $60 on milk, bananas, and cheese cubes. Because that's all you need. The carbs. You need the carbs. It's why people on Atkins are so cranky. Carbs make you happy. They feed your brain what it wants and gives you enough energy to exercise a bit. Plain old carbs. You don't need some mummified old oatmeal to get carbs. Eat some nice warm rolls. Fresh at a bakery. That's a lot of fun. Or a cookie. Or a muffin. Or a cronut. I don't care. You know what carbs are. You've been afraid of them your whole adulthood. Go get some. Finally, Oz says, try my, this is a quote-unquote situation, decadent chocolate fix. Actually, I think it's just the decadent that's in quotes. made out of dates and sort of tastes like a dark fudgy pudding. This is how he puts it. It's simple to make and delivers another powerful mood boost, cocoa powder. So cocoa is good for the cardiovascular system, mostly because of the flavonoids. The reason cocoa often gives you an instant feeling of happiness is due to the rush of dopamine that triggers the brain's pleasure center and endorphins. You know what else has cocoa in it that doesn't instantly put you in a bad mood because it tastes like diet sludge?
Chocolate bars.
Chocolate. Actual chocolate. Dark. Good for you. All healthy chocolate. Even better for your heart. And puts you in an even better mood because it's not mashed up dried fruit. Take that, Oz.
Yeah, Oz. I mean, I love dates. I love chocolate. I mean, if you're feeling ambiguous or whatever you want, you can dip strawberries in chocolate, and that's great.
Yay.
And it's just a chocolate bar.
Antioxidants too.
You microwave for 20 seconds, and you're good. You have beautiful vitamin D, like he said, and chocolate. Not his stupid whatever.
This clown thinks that people have the time to bustle around all day shopping for his weird exotic garbage list so they can munch their way to less than happy and then try to deal with the oppression of their loved ones. My time belongs to my family, dude, not you and your insane little macrobiotic treasure hunts. Folks, you will only enjoy life when you keep it simple. Here's how. Eat some tasty stuff and hug someone who doesn't hate you yet. If I was your wife and spent all afternoon listening to you lecture me on ancient grains and depriving myself of chocolate and measuring fiber in my poop, then you'd likely be my main source of stress. What a weirdo. When we come back after this quick break, giant, meaty, delicious, fall-apart, tender, Kahlua pig, and other reasons you should turn your yard into a giant roasting pit. That's next on Food Fight.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Hand-tossed with the freshest ingredients. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinthenumber2night.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. With me in studio is the manly and marvelous Chef Marcus.
Hello, my name is Chef Marcus.
Wow, that's really low.
Well, I was trying to be manly.
Yeah, a couple octaves lower. Normally it's like, hi, hey, how y'all doing?
My name is Chef Marcus. Would you like some sweet tea?
Marcus wore his big boy pants today, folks. So when's the last time you roasted an entire animal in a huge hole dug in your front yard?
Oh, I never have.
You never have?
That makes me, because we just moved here, so we haven't done that yet. That makes me kind of sad.
I don't recall an invitation to your housewarming party, dude.
No one has. I'm still
I think a roasting pit is overdue.
You're right.
We should all promise ourselves to use our yard for something really practical this year. Instead of doing a fountain or a jacuzzi, which, admit it, you're only excited about for the first week after it's installed, then you never go in it again, and then curse that pool guy you have to keep paying. You should get a pickaxe, tear up that stupid jacuzzi, and line the hole with rocks.
I love it.
And then voila, roasting pit. Here's a nice cooking rule of thumb. The more meat you buy, the better value it is. So imagine the savings and value when you're buying an entire pig. Whole pig. The whole one that pig still has its face.
I love those.
Get the giant hog. Mm-hmm. Do a luau in your yard. I promise you more friends will want to come over when they hear you're roasting a giant whole pig in the ground than when you're having a hot tub party.
Now, if you're worried about money, ask people $5 when they come in. Who wouldn't pay $5 for a luau?
Oh, I would.
And that will help you pay for the pig.
I would in a heartbeat.
If you can't afford it, that's how you make it happen.
Exactly. Of course, you got to dig the hole yourself.
That's fine.
But you know what? That's fun, sweaty, reward yourself with a case of beer kind of work.
Yeah, you do all that work. You're like, I'm going to deserve this pig when I eat it. I'm going to deserve all these beers when I drink it. You know, I'm working all those calories. So I need to put them all back.
Smother it with honey, molasses-based, homemade, cooked down with sticky barbecue sauce. And then, you know, jump in the tub afterward to clean yourself off because you tore up your jacuzzi. It's one of the oldest methods of cooking. Cavemen used to do it. You dig a hole in the ground. You put fire in it. You throw in a large animal. You cover it and you cook it. There's a few basic steps that you can take to make it turn out right. You can use this for large hogs, whole lamb, side of beef, anything else that you have that just isn't going to fit in your oven. Mm-hmm. First, dig a hole. Right? Simple enough. Dig a hole.
Dig a hole. Make sure it's big enough.
Yeah. Boot camp type stuff. The size of the hole in the ground you need is determined by what you're going to cook. So I'd probably make mine the size of an entire cow. Or a small whale.
Or small whale.
If my yard would accommodate it. The pit needs to be about 1 foot larger in every direction than the thing that you want to cook. So if you have a pig that's 4x2, then you need a hole 6x4. Roughly.
Easy math.
Easy math, right?
Easy math.
The size of the hole will also determine the size of the fire and how much of everything else. So get the hole first.
Yeah.
First step, number one, make the hole.
Okay. Yes.
Number two, line the pit. You can put stones or bricks. It's done to even out and hold in the heat. Large stones about the size of your head are perfect. You generally want to avoid stones that have been in the ocean for, say, the past few million years. These have a tendency to crack and sometimes explode.
Think about cold water and then hot water.
Exactly. Line the pit with bricks is always a good idea. Mm-hmm. You're going to need a lot of hot coals to do your pit cooking. And this is part the fire part. This is step three, fire.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, you would fill it with logs, burn them down coals. Since now we have coals, you don't have to do that.
Nope.
And it's a lot faster. So you'll put a bunch of charcoal in there. What you're going to aim for is about a foot deep of burning hot coals before you actually start cooking.
Totally recommend going to Costco. And if you're in San Diego, going to the business Costco, they have huge 50-pound bags of coals. Super cheap. Maybe $10.
See?
Maybe.
And you saw those things
easy
in Costco when you're walking around the last time going, who in their right mind would buy a giant 50-pound? Okay, well, you know
who
what?
Who in their right mind would not buy a 50?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. I have to have that. You want to wrap the meat. You want your meat to be flavored and then wrapped.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to do with a large animal is you should place some of the hot rocks in the body cavity. It's up to you. You don't have to. What you want to do is secure the package to put it in the fire. This means tying it up firmly. You can use chicken wire to wrap it all together.
Yes.
That also keeps it together when you're trying to pull it out of the fire later.
Which will be very important.
It will be important because that meat's going to be so tender, it will fall apart.
Yes.
And if it's wrapped up with chicken wire, it won't do that.
Yeah.
So that'll work out nicely. It makes a good, tight package. In the old days, it was important to wrap it up in banana leaves. But again, that makes it very difficult to take the meat out of the hole.
Yes.
So skip the traditional stuff. You don't have to do the crazy luau thing. It doesn't have to be attractive. And To be honest,
it won't
folks,
be once you open the package.
It's not going to be attractive. It's not going to resemble a whole animal when you take it. It's going to be a big steaming pile of juicy meat.
Yes.
It will have fallen apart completely.
Don't be afraid to throw some veggies, some fruits in the cavity and all around it to make it taste even better.
Sure.
I recommend pineapple in a can.
Ooh, nice. Throw the syrup in there with it.
Yeah, exactly. All the liquid. Nice. Yeah.
So then what you want to do is cover it up at that point. You want to put some soaked burlap sacks. Bear in mind, as soon as you put the meat in there, the fire will pretty much go out.
Yeah.
Because you're going to put the meat in there and then you're going to smother the fire
and then you
by
have
completely covering up
everything. A stone oven. Yeah, that's why the rocks need to be in there
what
to hold the heat in.
What you should probably do is cover it with wet burlap sacks, cover it with a tarp, and then weigh it down with more rocks.
Yes.
That way, the dirt and crud from the rocks won't get all over your delicious meat. Now, loading this thing, you're going to need more than you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why you need a party.
It's heavy.
And men there. Or big people if you want to be PC.
A party. It's going to take all night for this stuff to cook. So you want to just have people come over, help you out, go away, and come back for brunch.
A case or two of beer is more than enough to pay these people.
Oh, sure. Cooking time.
like she just said, overnight.
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 That way you're not hanging around doing nothing in the yard all day.
No, you're just sleeping.
Yeah, you wake up, you know, you kind of poke around, you make some coffee. Cooking time's going to be about 12 hours.
Yes.
About 12 hours. And then you just get everyone back to help you dig it up.
Yep.
And there's your food. Maybe have a cast iron tub to put the meat in for serving purposes, because those little metal containers you've been keeping since your last barbecue are not going to be big enough. You can also cook a whole lamb with sumac and orange peel. Shove it full of lemons.
Love sumac.
Orange peel all over that thing. Rub it down with sumac. Put some brown sugar on that baby. Or do a side of beef.
Or do a side of beef outside the pig. And then you have a traditional Roman. Romans would put a beef with a pig inside. Oh, no, a lamb inside and a pig inside that. And they would roast all that up and eat that. So, you know, you can mix whatever meats you want to.
It's like a turducken. What would you call that?
I don't know what they called it. I don't speak Roman.
It's a cow goatkin.
Yeah, cow goatkin.
Something.
Cow-goatkin.
Shove that thing full of more meat and eat it with foie gras. Yeah. So that tasty pork that you got at the luau in Hawaii last year was cooked way, way before you ever got there.
Oh, yeah.
That ceremonial little dance thing you were witnessing didn't have anything to do with cooking the meat. I personally like the meat that's been cooked especially for me, usually by me. That way I know it's good. And that way you don't have to get that whole lecture on poi where they trick you into eating it. Awful stuff. Absolutely awful. Personally, I think roasting an entire dinosaur-sized creature in your yard, especially your front yard, is completely awesome, because that's a good way to scare the neighbors away from working in on your party. And of course, if they're fine with it, then they know you well and love you for who you are, and aren't those jerk neighbors who turn you into the HOA on every little thing. I'm not saying that's what happened to me or anything.
No.
Yeah. If you are too lazy to dig up your expensive manicured yard, or you're afraid of having people belly aching about how you're lowering their property value by roasting pigs in holes, then you can just make a great juicy Kahlua pork in the oven.
Lame, but still nice.
Lame, but you know what? Not everyone wants to dig up their yard.
Or they don't have a yard. Condos. There's a lot of condos now.
So you can do this in your oven.
Yes.
You can. And you're like, you know what? You could have led with that one. Because I wrote the stuff down. Yeah. We're going to put this... our recipe, our quota recipe,
yes,
on our website, which gives us the ability to continue having a food show. Here's how you make beautiful, delicious, juicy Kahlua pork in the oven. You're going to take about a 5-pound boneless pork butt.
Which is actually the shoulder, but it's called the pork butt.
Yeah.
Don't be grossed out.
The shoulder is the what?
The shoulder's the butt.
Yeah.
The butt is the shoulder.
The butt is the shoulder.
It's like Iceland and Greenland. Get over it.
One's nice, one's terrible. Two guesses as to which one. 2 tablespoons plus a couple of more teaspoons Hawaiian sea salt. You can't find Hawaiian sea salt. Get some regular sea salt.
Regular sea salt.
Regular sea salt. The coarse kind. Get some frozen banana leaves. You can find those in a lot of places. I know we said you don't need them for the stuff you're cooking in a pit in a hole in the ground. But you know what? They really do hold in a lot of the nice, tasty, delicious moisture when you're doing this sort of thing in your oven. So thaw those out. You're going to need about 3 of them, maybe 4 or 5. 6 cups of water and about a 1/2 teaspoon liquid smoke. You're going to take your oven to 350. Cut slits in the pork. Rub sea salt all over it. Put a banana leaf on the bottom. Put another banana leaf on the top. Roll it up. And then tie it up with kitchen string to secure it, wrap it in foil, stick it in a roasting pan, put in 4 cups of water, and roast until extremely tender, about 5 hours.
I didn't hear any Kahlua in this Kahlua pork.
It's not actually Kahlua. That's not an ingredient. It's like from the place.
Man.
From the place called Kahlua.
From the place. Is that where they make the Kahlua liqueur?
You know, I'm not sure of. But you know what? It's coffee flavored.
That.
And there's a lot of coffee that comes from Hawaii. So sure.
Sure.
Why not?
Why not?
It's not going to, nothing at this point would stop me from drinking too much of it. So that's what you have. A very tasty, tender, juicy, oven cooked Kahlua pork. What you want to do is boil the remaining 2 cups of water and the remaining 2 teaspoons of salt, add liquid smoke, stick some pork in it, cover to blend it up, let it stand 10 or 15 minutes to allow the liquid and the flavor into the pork, and then eat it. Then eat it. Coming up next on Food Fight Radio, we'll be discussing the possible abolishment of tipping in restaurants. Should a person be rewarded for simply doing their job? Should the server be punished when the cook burns the steak? We're going to get to the meat of it. Keep it tuned to Food Fight Radio.
When our kids started school,
I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried to supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through 8th grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized
and don't forget motivating.
Education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
Okay, gang, our dinner's here from Dine-In Tonight. Come on, let's go.
You know, I remember before there was Dine-In Tonight and people had to cook dinner for themselves.
What? Really? That's crazy. People don't have time for that.
Oh, Ma. Are you telling stories again?
I know, but back then, if you didn't cook for yourself, you had to have fast food.
That's so unhealthy.
And then all that changed when Dine-In Tonight opened. All you had to do was sign up online and they'd bring fresh, hot, gourmet dinners right to your front door every night and for only $10 a dinner. And you didn't even have to choose. Everything was all done for you and the food was always different and suddenly everyone's lives got so much easier.
Wow, Grandma. That must have been so awful to live like that.
Yes, my dears. Those were hard times. Those were hard times indeed.
Dine-In Tonight. Ready to eat dinners delivered to your home or office. Start simplifying your life one meal at a time. Call 1-888-64-MEALS. That's 1-888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. charlescole.com.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio. So, when you leave a tip, assuming you have, where does that money go? Some goes to the server. We assume a little bit goes to the guy who cleans up after you leave. Does any of it get to the guy who cooked the food that pleased you enough to leave such a generous tip?
Usually, no. Knowing as a cook and a line cook and a chef, I have never gotten a tip.
So we should do away with tipping then, yes?
I fully agree. I think maybe we add a little more to the bill and the servers get paid enough. But I know when all the special ingredients I've made, the special meals I've made, I have never gotten anything for that except for being able to do it.
Well, we're going to talk about how completely un-American it is to add more to the bill that's already at an excessively high level. We're going to talk about that a little bit later and also how it completely destroyed one San Diego restaurant. We've talked about this before. Why should I feel obligated to supplement this person's income, a thing that their boss is solely responsible for, just because they brought my food to me, presumably free of spit or pubic hair? So, see, Marcus and I have both worked in food.
Yes.
We know what servers do to the food of people they don't like, or those who have complained about something. Even if you complain about something that's clearly wrong, like they bring you the wrong entree,
yeah,
the servers will still get mad at you, and usually mad enough to do all kinds of things to your food. And I get lousy service enough of the time to make me not feel like tipping a lot of the time. But I do because I don't think the busboy should be punished.
Now, isn't that like protection money where the mob comes and says, if you want protection, you need to pay us money.
Right.
And if you don't give them money,
that's exactly
they're the
it is.
Ones that destroy you.
It's blackmail.
It's blackmail.
It is. Food
it's
service
fear money.
Blackmail.
Yeah.
How about these restaurants pay these people what they should be paid?
Exactly.
Not more, not less, just like any other job. If the server is a jerk, he should be fired.
Yeah, you'll
if
get comment cards.
If the cook screws up the food, the server can still count on his same hourly wage that he's been depending on to feed his family.
I told you 6 times, chefs. Medium rare, not medium well. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to hurt the server. It's not going to hurt the cook.
No.
It's going to hurt the server.
Exactly.
Because he actually has to depend on that. The restaurant still charges a fair amount for the food, or in many cases, way too much for the food. Why can't they afford to pay their staff? I have to pay my staff, whether I can afford it or not. So does everybody. If you can't afford to pay your staff, have less staff.
There you go.
It's not my customer's responsibility to pay the staff that I have hired. So, do you think that people tip better when they think the service was good?
Yeah. Well, no, it has to be a package. As a customer, I go in, if the food's bad, you took that from the chef and you gave it to me and you didn't fix it. If the service is bad, well, that's all you and I do tip less. But
well, being, I think that being, might just be you then.
Being in the industry, though, I have that mindset. I know this is a cook's job and this is the server's job. I know a lot of people don't.
How about this? A Cornell University study found that the customer's perception of the service affects the tip 2% of the time.
So they come in with a pre...
2% of the time. And apparently it doesn't have anything to do with their service.
Huh.
They tip the same.
Wow.
They don't tip the same 2% of the time. Probably because even when you're actually pissed at the server or the food, you really don't have any clue where the money truly goes.
Yeah.
And you don't want any nice guy in the mix to get screwed. Or you feel guilty because you start to feel like a cheapo.
Yeah.
And then you have to go out of your way to prove you're not a cheapo, especially when your dinner date calls you a cheapo.
Uh-huh. Or you want to impress your date and they always see it even though you don't want them to.
Or you have no idea what the ridiculous minimum the restaurant is allowed to pay these guys. It could be as low as $2 an hour.
Yeah. I worked in Florida. It was, even then, it was $150, $2 an hour.
And you personally just don't want to be the guy that drives the waiter to suicide, being the most recent jerk that cost him money that week.
I'm not tipping you. Now you can't feed your family.
Yeah,
I don't need that.
Because he was in a foul mood. You know what? He's getting paid $1.50 an hour. Of course he's in a foul mood.
Yeah, I have to deal with stupid chefs making stupid food. Yeah.
And Marcus is a chef. And he just said that.
Yeah.
He really
I understand. I've worked with chefs that I want to punch the face or cooks that are just
so
jerks.
So do I. I'm staring at him right now.
Hey,
so,
that's not nice.
So for whatever reason, good service or bad service, good food or bad food, people always feel obligated to leave 15%.
I thought it was 20. Well, that's what I'd leave.
Some people are 10% people and some
what?
People are 20% people, but most are in the middle, kind of like in politics. A few are major Republicans, a few on the other side are major Democrats, and most people are in the middle somewhere being not crazy.
Yeah, I agree.
So basically, the waiter could give one person incredible service and get 2 cents. This is the reality of it. And then with another person, he could get his order wrong, insult his heritage, hit on his wife, and still get a 20% tip. That is how much of a total fluke the system is.
If you're serving me and you hit on my wife, you are going to have a broken knee.
But you might tip him.
No.
You might tip him.
No, because he has to leave. I'll tip the other person that comes in and replaces him.
You'd be the 2%, sir.
There we go.
Waiters themselves don't actually know where tipping came from, and therefore they themselves, they can't justify it.
Yeah.
All I can come up with is that it became somehow legal for restaurant owners to go through a loophole and screw over their staff. This information was made public, and patrons began to feel sorry for them, basically enabling the injustice to continue for 100 years and ensuring that nothing would ever be done about it. If those patrons had simply let the legal revolution take its course, this whole problem would have all been resolved generations ago. So in this case, it was people's inherent charitable nature that caused and nurtured the entire problem. Thanks a lot, nice people.
Hey, I was thinking it was China. People pay their, you know, the Chinese pay their people less, and we want to be like them, but that's un-American.
That's cool.
All I was thinking. Not cool.
Not cool. Here's theory number two.
Oh, well,
the restaurant owners were noticing that people were leaving their change behind after a meal for the staff, and then their evil little wheels started spinning.
I agree with that one, knowing a lot of restaurant owners.
It's a very, very simple explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah, the simplest answer is usually
you're
the
getting
correct
that
one.
Money. I don't need to give it to you. You're getting it from them
anyway. The owner can't take it.
No.
It's more than what he charged for the food, so he can't take. Someone's got to take it.
Yeah.
It's going to be the staff. Then he's like, I can pay this guy less.
Yeah.
And hey, hold this change over his head.
It's ridiculous that they're taxed on tips or their projected tips, not the real number they get.
That's stupid. I'd totally lie about it.
Yeah.
I would say I was a terrible waiter. I have a bad attitude. Nobody ever tipped me.
Yeah. That's why they always take tax on 15%.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
So you're actually costing them more money by tipping than less than. That's a good reason.
Yeah.
To tip a customary 15%,
yeah,
even when the service is bad. So I can totally see why most people do that and only don't do that 2% of the time. So you know how I've always hated the Linkery?
Yes.
It's a house-made, farm-to-everything, the lettuce has three names, sausage restaurant, for being, well, you know, everything that they are. So get this. Online article this month, the Linkery, a small San Diego restaurant, closed its doors this summer.
Oh, no.
Incredibly, right after we reviewed them.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not going to say that we're influential on where people decide to eat and spend their money, but that certainly seems to kind of be the case, if I can let myself believe that. They closed their doors. It ended a fascinating social experiment. Here's why. The Linkery, and this might have been one of the things that really ticked me off at the time, they had instituted a standard 18% service charge in lieu of tipping.
Ah.
And they had refused to accept anything on top of that.
Huh.
So they told you how much to tip.
Yeah.
They made it part of the bill. If you tried to pay less than that, you would be short paying your bill, which would be, they chase you down the street for stuff like that. Meanwhile, its sister restaurant down the street, and this is one of the stupidest names in the industry, El Take It Easy. Operated under a traditional tipping model. So people in the know in the industry, customers resented the Linkery for taking away people's power to tip. People didn't like it. As one email from Yelp from a very unhappy patron stated, "You, sir, are a douche." I love that.
It's clear and to the point.
Oh, very short.
I hate wordy emails. That's beautiful.
Oh, very, very nice. Using modern slang with an old school traditional, almost English.
Yeah,
you, sir, are a douche. Are a douche.
Now, I don't know if this person at all. I don't know if they really are a douche. They could be a nice person.
You know, I love that email.
I love it. That's all
I'm
saying.
Whoever is responsible for that menu has to be a douche. It's a phenomenon academic research has borne out. Why do we like tipping waiters? Does it make us feel rich?
Empowered?
Maybe. Anyway, and a writer, an economist who has written extensively about tipping, calls it a cyclical phenomenon. People start to tip certain workers. The employers of these workers reduce their wages. They can do so because the worker receives part of his reservation wage from tips. People feel more obligated to tip because they know the worker has been screwed. Okay, he didn't write that. That's how I interpreted it.
It sounds that way.
Because, you know, I don't sound like a Cornell University writer when I say something like that. So more people tip to make up for how horribly he's being treated. And then the cycle continues. I can pay you
50 cents an hour because you make so much money. No.
Do you want to know who will deliver you hot, fresh, delicious gourmet dinners every day for which you never have to tip?
Of course I do. That's great. What's that?
That's Dine In Tonight.
Nice.
They make delicious gourmet meals every day, hot and fresh, and with local veggies and ingredients, all quality stuff. And they bring these hot, freshly prepared dinners from their local kitchen and deliver them right to your door at dinner time. This is not ordering from a restaurant delivery service. This is not upcharged lame food. This is not diet nutritional chum. This is gourmet dinner. They cook the food, they deliver the food, you eat the food. It couldn't be more simple. And they have 100 different entrees, so go ahead and try them all. There's always a $10 dinner every day. No delivery fees, no tipping the drivers. They get paid well. And you can get back your time, your money, and your life. Don't be a slave to dinner time. Call Dine In Tonight today. They make a grilled chicken breast with mouth-watering grapefruit beurre blanc sauce and a tender steak Diane with grilled shrimp and Parmesan cream. Just to name a couple entrees, they have 100. Check out their menu calendar now and see what they're making tonight. Everything is always hot, fresh, delicious, and only $10 per entree. Call them today at 888-64-MEALS or go online to www.dineinnite.com. Call them today and get an extra free week of dinners using promo code KCBQ. It's the biggest thing since going pescatarian because you don't know why. That's dineintonight.com. Now, coming up on the next segment of Food Fight Radio, we've got a food fight challenge. It's a knockdown, drag out between nice, easygoing, unassuming Jewish delis run by nice boys who love their mothers. We're so evil on this show. Stay tuned and you might learn that rugula and arugula are different things.
What?
We'll be right back.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata? Roast beef with Dijon sauce? Roasted red snapper? Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinnight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
In this corner, authentic New York-style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa. Pizza, wings, pasta, subs, and salads. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio. I'm your host, Claire Katz. Today's review is an all-out feud between the two major competing Jewish delis in San Diego, who have been chosen not just by me, but by liverwurst-loving accountants all across this beautiful city of ours. And they're not all friends, folks. You've got DZ Aikens, a big place with hundreds of tables and a long history with a short wait, featuring a Meshuggah menu of over 100 sandwiches. I am not kidding. And then you've got Milton's, with fewer sandwiches, but more kinds of kosher wine. Both are awesome, with a massive following, but on today's challenge, only one will win the Golden Knish. And arugula. One is a mouth-watering cookie, and the other is a bitter vegetable. Two guesses as to which one keeps bringing people in to Jewish delis everywhere. Everyone loves a Jewish deli. Why? Not because they're Jewish, but for the same reasons everyone loves a theme restaurant. And the theme at these homey places is ludicrously oversized sandwich. After many months of selfless personal sacrifice dining at many well-known and some obscure Jewish delis across the county, we have painfully narrowed it down to two top contenders who are ready to go head-to-head in the ring in the challenge for the best Jewish deli in San Diego and, of course, for the covetable Golden Knish Award, an honor only awarded by Food Fight Radio. Milton's is hip, local, and cool-looking. At Milton's, you can have one of my personal favorites, fried chicken and waffles. Tasty, crispy, the breakfast of champions. We waited only a few minutes before sitting down to a clean table and a warm welcome, not a half bad cup of coffee. French toast, Belgian waffles, a burrito. You might not notice right away that Milton's is a Jewish deli, but at least they make the French toast with challah. By far the world's tastiest egg bread. That braided stuff you've seen at the store but never bought because you and your waspy family didn't know how you were supposed to eat it? Yeah, that stuff. Of course, they do have lox on a bagel. It's expensive brunch food for Americans now. Lovely smoked salmon with red onion tomato slices. Fabulous. Guaranteed to fill you up and give you bad breath. I forgave Milton's the minor indiscretion of having an egg white breakfast with a plain grilled chicken breast. They are now serving a California customer base, but no Jewish mother would allow such a meal to be served in her home, and so it should not be allowed in a Jewish deli. The food was tasty, the coffee frequently refilled. The only thing missing was the actual feeling of being in a real Jewish deli. Till the sandwich arrived, of which 70% of the meat had to immediately be taken out so I could get my face around it. That's what we want in a deli sandwich, folks. That feeling of ludicrousness. The sky-high pile of meat stupidity. Plus, you feel like a wuss for not being able to eat your sandwich like a grown-up. They only have 5 different kinds of smoked fish here, though, so I don't know who they think they're dealing with. I guess they've scaled down the authenticity a bit for the Americans. And they lost me at Greek yogurt and a half of grapefruit. A vegetarian section on the menu? Oy. Our contender, DZ Aikens, was an altogether different experience. You've never seen so many packed tables, all being served at the same time by your Aunt Esther. Hot coffee, great heavy stuff. Huge menu. Absurd, in fact. They have 100 different kinds of sandwiches, and only about half of them contain liverwurst. This is a place I can really go nuts. We had the Reuben omelet. It's an omelet with pastrami, cheese, sauerkraut, and Russian dressing all inside. Totally wicked combo and just the right amount of gooey fillings. We had the chicken noodle soup, a.k.a. Jewish penicillin. I'm not kidding, it's the best hangover remedy ever. Not that I had one when I went in. The sandwich menu, I'm not gonna lie, did have my eyes glazing over a bit, but I was able to narrow it down to the top 3, all of which either had liverwurst or brisket or tongue, but only one that had all 3. Oh yeah. Folks, this place has liverwurst on the kids' menu. If you are not a card-carrying Jew when you walk in, you will be by the time you walk out. I believe it's an automatic conversion when you eat that much liver at one time anyway. Of course, the desserts were predictably amazing. The eclair was as long as my forearm, but it was the arugula that really blew my mind. It's a soft, rich, buttery cookie filled with a number of things, like chocolate, preserves. So addictive, I bought a bunch to go. Of course, my kids got to them and I never saw another Rugula. My suggestion for the light eaters out there is to leave. But maybe you can find an egg white low-carb something if your waitress doesn't strangle you for ordering it. So for the breakdown, every proper Jewish deli has corned beef hash. That's a given. But you've got to be a bit hardcore to earn my respect. Each place has smoked fish, but only DZ Aiken has seven different kinds. Both delis have absurdly tall sandwiches where you have to take out most of the stuff before you can even make an attempt at eating it. Of the two places, only DZ Aiken's has the nerve, the stones, the cojones to serve that liverwurst, brisket, tongue, and chopped liver all at the same time. Not because they're trying to be weird, but because there's a nearsighted old man who loves it and comes in at the same time every Tuesday. Both have tasty desserts, but only DZ Aiken's has desserts that are worth the heart attack. Milton's has great coffee, and a woman who could be my favorite bubby taking care of the refills, a boastable selection, and a steady following. The tallies were in, the liver served, and the desserts packed to go. But it was DZ Aiken's that charmed with a reminder of what it means to just not just enjoy a Jewish deli, but to be Jewish. It was there on the menu, staring up at me. A tradition as old as forcing your kids to go to college to be the next generation of nearsighted accountants. A tasty, richly flavored entree of close families, all loving and complaining about each other at the same time, called a kishka. A beef fat enriched, paprika spiced, veggie sausage, hard to explain and impossible to pass up. A real Jewish kishka. I had to have it, and only one of these places serves it. And that's DZ Aiken's. So, with a Manischewitz salute, we congratulate the deli that has remained true with Bubby's recipes and the warm welcome of proper kishkas and knish. A deli that reminds all of us that purple horseradish has its place, and the real winner of the coveted Golden Knish Award and today's Food Fight Challenge Golden Gelt medalist is DZ Aiken's. Congratulations! Oy vey, everybody! Oy vey! You can see photos of our meaty Meshuggah Mishigas at foodfightradio.com. Tune in next week for Phallic Fruits, Why Some Produce Makes Us Uncomfortable. Also, how we think the food pyramid really ought to be, and I'll tell you what you can do with that bottle of balsamic. All next week on your favorite food show, this is Claire Katz reminding you that today's sky-high deli sandwich is tomorrow's breakfast.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.